Thank you for downloading today's podcast from Pastor Cheryl Brady. We pray that you'll be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Touch somebody, tell them we need God. So because we need him, we worship him. And because we worship him, he gives us access to him. And so now we meet the requirements that are we're taught about the requirements that it takes to access the presence of God. So what happens is that worship, we are a house of worship. Somebody say, we are a house of worship. Now, every church is kind of like a block of ice, okay? It's just like a block of ice. Have you ever seen an ice sculpture? You've seen beautiful ice sculptures. But what happens is all of them look the same, or pretty much the same to begin with. They might just be different sizes, but they're just a block of ice. And the sculptor or whoever does that, they take that little chisel and they just start chopping away at the ice. And they shave stuff off over here, and they shave stuff off over there, and they'll cut this a little bit back here. And then you back up and they see the sculpture. Begins, he works with the ice until he sees what he envisioned that it would be. And so one of the characteristics of this house is he's taken a block of ice and he's cut us and he's carved us, and now we are going to become known as a house of worship, a house that takes what's in the heart of God and sings it to the people of God. Songs are coming out of our house, victories coming out of our house, great musicians come out of our house, because we are a house of worship. And so that worship is just one of the traits of our house. So if you are just coming into the Potter's House North, or you're just discovering us, expect us to hear things about praise. Expect to hear things about praise. Expect to hear things about worship. Expect to hear us say to you, don't come in 30 minutes late because you have missed a major part of what we are. And I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago or last week, Vicki Yoe was here and she was saying that what we do is the word. The word is about us, but the worship is about God. So when we come in and we don't worship, what we're saying is, hey, just give me mine and don't worry about yours. And so that's why we got to make it a priority to be in the house and to get under. The music is not just what we do until late people show up. It is really a part of the process. We are celebrating God. So you can expect to hear about this house. You can expect to hear a lot about the celebration of God. We are a celebratory church. We celebrate God. We celebrate God's faithfulness. We celebrate one another. We celebrate the word of God, and we are always praising and worshiping God for something at the Potter's House North, praising and worshiping. Understand today that there is a difference between praise and worship. Tell your neighbor, they're not the same. Tell your other neighbor, they're not the same. There is a difference. And so periodically, some of you all have heard me say this before, periodically I got to just back up and reinforce the foundation of what God has called us to do. So they are not the same. And when we praise God, what we are actually doing is we are honoring him and we are thanking him for what he has done. So praise is for what he has done. But worship, when we worship him, we are honoring him and praising and celebrating him for who he is. So praise is for what he's done, but worship is for who he is. If you're writing notes, write that down. Praise is for what he's done, but worship is for who he is. And it has a whole lot less to do with bodily exercise than people really think that it does. See, real praise and real worship, it goes in defining it, we got to know that it goes beyond our acts and it goes beyond our movements. And what it does is it reaches into the purpose of our acts and it reaches into the purpose of our movements. So anytime we are celebrating God for what he has done, then what that means is that regardless of how we express it, it is called praise. Anytime we are celebrating him for who he is, irregardless of how we express it, That is called worship. Praise and worship, they're not decided by the music style. It's not that praise is a fast song and worship is a slow song. Okay, it's not divided by worship style, or it's not divided by music style. It's not divided by body language either. I can be dancing and shouting and be worshiping God. You probably think I'm praising God, but see, the line that divides praise from worship, it addresses the purpose of the act and not the act itself. Are you following me? I said it addresses the purpose of the act and not the act itself. Whenever you see somebody that is standing there and tears are rolling down their face and we're singing, pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. Sometimes we might have a tendency to think, they're crying, so they're worshiping. But you can't, and then on the other hand, you'll see somebody who's just shouting and carrying on, and you'll be like, oh, they're praising over there. But you can't really look at what we do and define what we're doing. The reason we're doing it. You can't look at me on the outside and know why I'm doing what I'm doing on the inside. The only way you can determine which one that I am doing is when you know why I am doing the one that I am doing. So if you know why I'm doing it, then you will understand that. But unfortunately, we have mixed culture with truth, and the end result is a whole lot of misconceptions regarding praise and worship. The divisive line is not through the expression, but it is through the purpose of the expression. Worship addresses the unchangeableness of God. The unfailingness of God, it addresses the immutable things about God. It addresses the fixed things about God, the settled things, the unaltered things about God. That's what worship addresses. Whenever you say you're holy, whenever you say you're righteous, whenever you say you are a bulwark, never failing, whenever you say things like you are sovereign, you are absolute, you reign, you rule, you are a mighty God, an everlasting Father. Whenever you think of things like that, that is called worship. Whenever you say things like, Lord, I thank you because you're unfailing and you're unchanging. That is worship. Seasons will change, and my friends will change, and my money will change, and a lot of things in my life will change. But thou, oh Lord, you are forever the same. You will never change. You will never shift. You will never be unstable. You will never, ever, ever forsake me and leave me. And Lord, I just got to say, if you never do anything else in my life, I got to still thank you because you are God alone. You are still faithful. You are unwavering. That, my brother and sister, is worship. Praise says, Lord, I thank you for touching my body. Praise says, you picked me up, and for picking me up, I say thank you. Praise says, you turned me around, and I thank you for turning me around. Praise said, you brought me out when I didn't think I was going to get out, and I thank you. Lord, you fed my children. I give you praise for that. You kept my lights on. I give you glory for that. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I thank you that my Mablo tires, you know, not Maybelline, I mean, not what, not, what is that tire? Michelin. Is that what I'm talking about? How do y'all know what I'm talking about? Anyway, because you can't see what I'm talking about. But it's not those Michelin tires. I've had Mablo tires. Tires that may blow at any second. But God kept me easing on down the road. Lord, I thank you for keeping me. See, that is praise right there. However, to say that one is more important than the other is not wise. I said, it's not wise. And the reason I say it's not wise is, see, some people say, oh, well, if all you are is a praise in church, then you are shallow, because praise is really shallow and praise is really, it's unnecessary. But that's not wise to say that, because I think it's worth pointing out that praise is an important step in the process. I said, praise is an important step in the process. Without praise, you cannot actually get into the presence of the Lord. Because the Bible said, I will enter his presence with thanksgiving, and I will come before his courts with praise. So thanks is what gives me access into the gates, all right? But praise is what gives me access into the courts. And worship is what I do once I get in there. Did y'all see that? I said, thanks gives me access into the gate. But once I get in there, praise then gives me access into the courts. Tell somebody it's all a step in the process. It is a journey. Praise is an outer court experience. Worship is a holy of holy experience. And you cannot pass by praise and just think, hey, I'm gonna bypass you and I'm gonna go straight on in to the holy of holies. It doesn't work like that. Look at somebody and say, stay true to the order. It is an ascension. I said it is an ascension, and according to the word of God. See, once you access the presence of the Lord and you begin to praise him, your praise invokes God's presence. And the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you praise him, he inhabits. If you praise him, he comes to wherever you are. Look at somebody and tell them he will come. It doesn't even matter where you are. He will come to you if you will praise him. So a lot of people, they crack me up because they come to church and they just sit here and they're like, oh, I can't act like that. I can't act like Joseph and all of them up there running around and moving and all that stuff, because I'm not an emotional person. But see, emotions, it's not about emotions. It's not about your education. It's not about your ethnicity either. All of those things really have nothing to do with praise and with worship, because praise transcends our culture. I said it transcends our culture. It also transcends our gender. It's not feminine to worship. Okay, brothers, where y'all at? See, a lot of men in an attempt to be masculine come to church, but they sit all composed and they sit all conservative, because they think that worship is just the thing that women do. They think that for them to do it, it would make them feel or look like they were weak or like they were effeminate or whatever. But if you think that, oh, let me help you right there, because that tells me you do not know your Bible. Because if you know your Bible, then you understand that every man who was renowned in the Old Testament scripture was a man that understood how to worship. Men subdued kingdoms by worshiping God. Men overcame enemies by worshiping God. They put enemies under their feet by being bold about worshiping God. They got out of debt by worshiping God. And so for some of us, that might be why you're going through what you're going through, because you don't have a real worship life. You haven't developed a worship life. And so because of that, you are trying to fight your battles in the flesh. But the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And once you learn that, once you get that in your spirit, anytime you need a breakthrough, through, you don't have to just go off and be angry and pound your fist on the desk and scream in your boss's face and risk losing your job. All you really do is you just walk away and you access the presence of God. There is a moment of time. There is a space, a little space between what you feel and actually acting on what you feel. Oh, I said there's a little moment. Look at somebody and say, one moment in time. There is a moment in time where you have to make the decision. Do I flip out right here, or do I just walk away and access the presence of God? Excuse me, I need to step out of here for a minute. I feel a sudden need to worship. Because when you worship, you attract his presence into your situation. And if you worship, he will come. He'll come into your job. He'll come into your meeting. He'll come into the conference room. He'll come wherever you are. Because whether you know it or not, God is not limited to a church building. Look at somebody and say, access him, access him. If you praise him, he'll come in. He'll come in on the bus. He'll come in your car. He'll come in on a plane. I can't tell you how many times I've got up and just walked into the bathroom on the plane. Bathroom on the plane is so small, you can't hardly move. But I have felt the overwhelming presence of God just come in that room or come into my seat. When I'd be sitting in my seat and people would be next to me, they would be looking at me, but tears would run down my face. And I didn't have time to explain it. I didn't know how to explain it. All I know is I was thinking of the goodness of Jesus, and he came to me. I said he will come to you. He'll come to right where you are. And if you will just dare to start thanking him, he will get in between you and your problem. He'll get in between you and your circumstance. He'll get in between you and your enemy. He'll get in between you and your conflict. He'll do it anywhere, anytime, any way, anyhow. Any moment that you praise him, tell somebody he will come. He will come. He will come. Oh, you do have access to him in his presence, but you get it by praising him. What is sad, sit down for a minute, what is sad is that a lot of people never really, it's sad, but they never take advantage of accessing the presence. And the reason they don't is because they don't know it's available. So in that space of time, when you're about to go off on somebody, you kind of just go off on them. May I tell you, it's sad when you think that you, and you get proud of yourself because you're like, I told them. Well, the reason it looks like you won is because I just decided not to allow you to control what comes out of my mouth. Because I could have told you. Yes. But I took that space and I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it's sad. It's sad to be a child of God and not know that that's part of your benefit package. It's a tragedy to be one of God's children and not know the benefits that belong to you as his children. Look at somebody again and tell them you've got access. What is worship? Worship is intimacy with God. Worship is being intimate with him. Worship is the place where conception takes place. It's the place where we celebrate our marital rights. It's worship is our rights of covenant. It is our rights of favor, our rights of blessing. And it is a tragedy. Somebody say tragedy. It's a tragedy to be married to him and never go into the bedchamber with God. I said it's a tragedy to be married to him and never go into the bedchamber. You've been in his living room and you've been in his church and you've been at his table and you've asked for provision and you've asked for his favor and you've asked for his gifts, but you've never gone into the bedchamber with God and you've never allowed divine conception to happen. You've never allowed him to invite impregnate you with hope and with purpose and with peace and with destiny. And so the only time that you really get a touch from God is when you're around people that have been in the bedchamber with God. And so as a result, you have to hobo your experience with God off of somebody else, because you've never been in there with yourself, and you have become codependent on somebody else's relationship with God. See, and a real relationship, especially for men, I'm not a man. There is nothing about me that is like a man. Okay? We got that straight. All right. So, but I'm going to just say some things regarding men. A real relationship, or a real state of relationship with God, is sometimes harder for men than it is for women, because men have a tendency to be afraid of real intimacy. Many men, they are afraid to be in a vulnerable position. They are afraid they're afraid of real closeness. They're afraid of opening up their heart, where women are just the opposite. We open up our heart, and we don't have much problem with it in the natural, so we just carry it over into the church, and we just open up our heart to God, whereby for men that can be a little bit difficult. And the sad thing about that is that you've got many, many Christian men, not at the Potter's House North, but you've got many Christian men who are bound. They're bound emotionally. They're Christians and they love God, but they're emotionally bound. They're bound spiritually. So as a result, they are not able to open up and access the presence of God into their life as easy as some of the women are. So what they do is they do all of the things that suggest worship. They might clap, they might raise their hand, they might close their eyes, but they never really enter into worship because their heart is hidden. Your heart is hidden from your wife. Your heart is hidden from your children. Your heart is hidden because it's harder for you to show it. Your heart is sometimes hidden from you. Your heart is hidden from your God. And then that's when it becomes a problem, because worship is just straight up bringing your heart to Jesus. And so what we need when your heart is hidden, whether you're a male or a female, we need a good cleansing. We need a good washing. We need a good release in our spirit. And so that's it. And if we don't get it, that's why we wrestle with all of the issues that we wrestle with. We wrestle with those habits. We wrestle with addictions. We wrestle with frustration. And we wrestle with loneliness. We wrestle with rage. We wrestle with pornography. We wrestle with all of those ungodly tendencies, because our mind needs a good washing. Oh, somebody tell your neighbor, wash your mind. Just wash your mind. Every now and then you got to bathe your mind, because if you don't bathe your mind, then your spirit starts to get cluttered, and your emotions get cluttered, and then your desires get cluttered, and you start wanting and desiring things that you know you should not want or desire, because without the river of living water flowing through you, washing your mind, then you have got all these hurdles that try to stop you from reaching your destiny. You got to have a river to cleanse you if you're ever going to reach your destiny. You don't need another drink. You need God to wash you. You don't need more crack. You need God to wash you. You don't need a chick on the side that nobody knows anything about. You need God to wash you. You don't need a lover. You need a wash mind. You don't need another house. You don't need another car. You don't need another title. You don't need another position. You need God to wash your mind.
Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts and other ministry resources from Cheryl Brady Ministries, visit our website at cherylbrady.com. Thank you to all of our partners who make resources like this available.